Not long after that first bright snow, another snow fell, grayer and heavier. The ice came in. The water had a transparent skim that broke apart and clicked together, then went solid again until there formed a tough gray coat of ice. Day-Day surely had stopped to camp and to wait until the ice was thick before moving on. It snowed steadily and long 3 days. While the snow fell outside, Angeline's friend, Ten Snow, used the red cloth Day-Day had brought last summer as trim for a blue trade cloth dress she and Angeline were making. It was a ribbon-trimmed, graceful dress. Mama had trimmed a matching shawl with thimbles so that when she walked, Angeline jingled softly and enticingly. Every so often now, she was allowed to visit Auntie Muskrat's house. That was the only place she was allowed to visit alone, for Auntie Muskrat kept a strict eye on her. Any young men who visited would have to stand or sit outside on Auntie's log bench while Angeline stayed, dancing foot to foot inside the cabin, craning out the window, laughing. The snow fell deeper yet, and in its grip, old Tallow had the best of luck. On the last day it snowed, she dragged from the farthest end of the island 2 plump beavers. The furs were thick and would fetch a good trade. She roped the beavers onto a little sled tied to another rope that circled her waist. Happily, she brought the meat to Mama and Grandma to prepare. She stayed in the yard smoking her little pipe while they made a fire outside to roast the meat over the coals. Although snow had fallen, Omakias thought, it couldn't be truly winter until old Tallow put on her remarkable coat. Every year the children watched to see that coat emerge, big and shaggy and always different, sewed with new furs, patched with discarded calicoes, even velvets. Old Tallow would wear it until the earliest days of spring. But now, even though the cold already bit in the mornings, she wore only her one earth-colored dress with the raveled hem. She even looked a little too warm as she bent near the fire, pulling a burning stick out to relight the new wad of tobacco in her pipe. She leaned back, adjusting her hat, and stared long at Omakias. Omakias looked into the fire. It was her job to keep smoothing and arranging the coals into an even bed for baking the meat. But Tallow's eyes on her back made her itch. Whenever old Tallow looked at her like that, she could feel those fierce eyes resting on her skin. There was something peculiar in old Tallow's look, something different from the way she looked at every other human. It was something familiar, though, and this time as Omakias glanced back and caught a corner, just a little shred of that look, she suddenly understood. Old Tallow was looking at her the same way she looked at her dogs. This was not a bad thing. In fact, it was good in a way, for in old Tallow's look there was true affection, something she didn't feel for other humans. It made Omakias feel both strange and safe inside. She smiled to herself and had the odd, sudden, curious knowledge that if it ever came to that, old Tallow would protect her, Omakias, with her life. She didn't know why she knew that, but she just knew. Soon Nokomis came out and took over, poking the coals this way and that to evenly set them. Soon she would burn a fine crust onto the skin. Beaver, or amik, was Day-Day's favorite meat. He loved the burnt flavor of its fat, and Mama cooked it in a special way. As soon as the meat singed and slightly burnt, she cleaned the beavers, washed their carcasses with salted water, and stuffed them with corn and potatoes. She then sewed them shut and roasted them slowly in the big iron kettle. They sizzled in their own fat, and the acorns burned black. When the beavers were tender and completely cooked all through, she removed them, undid the meat from the bones, mixed the stuffing with the fried acorns, and cooked it all together in a soup once again. The aroma had old Tallow pacing back and forth hungrily. She looked eager as her dogs, and when Mama ladled the soup into her bowl, she bent to it with a savage will. Eating swiftly, old Tallow put away one bowl, and then another, while Mama was dishing up the rest of the meal. It was lucky she ate so quickly, though, and put away so much, for just as Pinch was wiping bread, Pickwayzagun, across the bottom of his bowl, and opening his mouth to ask for more, there was a stamping and shouting outside. The dogs barked, then stopped when a familiar voice, "Gago! Gago!" It was Day-Day come home. As if summoned across the new ice by his favorite dish, he arrived in time to eat until he could eat no more. That night the children went upstairs and slept in the loft, and Nakoma slept there too, instead of downstairs beside Mama. Nakoma's made her bed at the farthest end of the loft where it was coolest. She put her old rabbit-skin blanket down and slept on top of it. "I sleep hot," she explained to the children. They didn't like to tell her, but she also slept noisy. Nakoma snored and often talked in her sleep, calling out to people from long ago. That night, Omakayas woke in the dark and listened to her grandmother's soft, regular breathing, and then her murmur, half understandable, sometimes arguing and sometimes pleasant, as she dreamed old times and went visiting to places that only she remembered.